Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be drilling down into a green tech solutions company, which is working within the circular economy to help reduce carbon through pelletized industrial waste. And to do that, we're very kindly joined by two members of the board of Changeover Technologies in Ken Flockhart, who is the CEO, and Richard Hughes, who is the Director of Technology and Innovations. So Richard and Ken, very much welcoming you to the podcast this morning.
Hi, good morning, Jonathan.
Jonathan, good to chat.
So the reason that we're speaking, one of the main reasons that we're speaking this morning, is you're currently on Crowdcube. You set out with a target of 500,000, which you very quickly surpassed. So congratulations on that. You're now in overfunding. So there is the opportunity for investors to be involved with Changeover Technologies if they like what they hear in the rest of the podcast. So we're going to discuss the actual campaign on Crowdcube a little bit later on in the podcast, but we're going to talk about the business to start with. So for those that haven't heard of Changeover Technologies, if you may, please may give us a brief overview of the company.
Okay, Jonathan, I'll take that question. Who are we? We're a clean tech solution provider. We're Northern Irish-based startup company. We've completed 5 years of R&D and we've developed a unique pelletizing technology, which lets companies reduce waste, hence their CO2, and turns that waste which is a cost, into a revenue profit stream. We're a company of experienced business people, a team of experienced business people, coupled with scientists and engineers. We're based in Northern Ireland because it's a global center of excellence in engineering and manufacture for processing equipment. You might not know, but 40% of the world's tracked mobile processing equipment is produced here. So it's a great resource base for us, and we're adjacent to two universities, Queen's and Ulster, with whom we cooperate, along with other mainland universities, Cranfield and Keele. So with over 5 years of R&D and £5 million of funding that we've raised from private and institutional investors, as well as some support grants, we actually won a Silver Technical Innovation Award with Invest Northern Ireland. That's the sort of background on us. We'll license our technology to end users, where licensees will purchase our process plant under license and we'll supply them with our formula under license. And later on, Richard will tell you more about that, okay? We're not a producer or a manufacturer. We'll outsource and we'll outsource our process and we'll outsource our formula. And again, Richard will tell you more about that. So we've made a breakthrough pelletizing technology. We're green and commercially friendly. We're basically taking our waste cost and we're turning it into a revenue profit stream. So environmentally and commercially friendly solution. We're now ready to move to our first commercial unit in operation. And we're in testing and negotiations, having MOUs with major US, EU and Scandinavian companies. We plan to sign a commercial agreement in 2023 to let us be in commercial operation by 2024. And from there, we'll move to continued global expansion. So there we are.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So if you may, I think we need to drill down really into the technology and how that works. You've obviously outlined there the business model of licensing the technology, but it'd be great to hear a little bit more about how the technology actually works.
Yeah, so I'll take that one, Jonathan. It's you'll always hear us talking about our two-part process, which is our patented process and formula. And what that allows us to do is to take our customers' waste fines and turn them back into a pelleted form. And that pellet form is then used back into the industrial environment as a feedstock into their process. What's probably unique about what we do is that we've sort of built a 5-ton-per-hour test pilot line, and we've used that to test out our material, and then we've also sent it off for external accreditation and verification from the likes of Uniper and Cranfield University, and that's a very useful part for us to help us show the credibility to our customers and to validate the process.
Thank you. So, I mean, there's a couple of questions. I think we just need to clarify on the feedstock. That'd be good, for, I think, for potential investors to know a little bit more about. So, you know, with the feedstock, is that a feedstock for a manufacturing process? Is it a feedstock for an energy and power generation process? And maybe elaborate, if you may, on what actually is fine particle waste.
Yeah, so whenever we talk about fine particle waste, we talk about a material that's 500 microns and less. That material is very suitable for our process to help generate the best quality product. So the fine particle waste itself is waste streams that come from carbon processing plants and things like that. And there's generally a very high percentage of waste that comes from those. So processes could be up to 40% waste materials and waste fines being generated. So our pellets are unique in the fact that we take that waste and we put them back into the value stream as an addition back into the process. So we're talking about for the manufacture of steels in electric arc furnaces, we're talking about the manufacturing of silica and things like that. So everything that's used down to the computer chips in your phone and touch screens and things like that, solar panels, electric vehicles. So we're very much focused on a pelletizing that material that's introduced back into the manufacturing process inside yep. those avenues.
Fantastic, thank you. So you obviously mentioned your customers that are currently using the technology. Would you be able to give us a little bit more insight into, you know, who these companies are, what your customers look like, and how they're using your technology?
Okay, I'll take that. I take that one, Jonathan. Right now, our technology, we're about to launch our technology, and we're a startup company, so we're about to launch our technology with the first unit next year. What we are doing right now, what I've been doing for the last few years, is we're working with major global companies in this regard. And as I say, they're from the US, Scandinavia, and the EU. We are restricted with NDAs, so we can't mention names. But we're working with them because the companies today, literally every company today, is looking at the supply chain. Because there's a move towards, everyone realizes we have to reduce CO2. There's a green movement. So everyone's going through the supply chain. And when we talk about carbon, we are talking about very high purity carbon. This is 3% that finally comes out of the original carbon that's found in the ground and rocks and in coal and so on. So we're looking at this and we're finding in many cases, even in traditional industries, people are wasting up to 40% of this high purity carbon. So we're working with them. We're working with them in industries in steel, recycling steel, traditional steel, recycling steel, silicon. And I have to emphasize here that it's not just in steel and silicon where our technology it can be used and in carbon. Carbon is throughout our industries and agriculture, and waste lies throughout it. So our technology is a platform technology, and it's adaptable to many of these different industries, from the mining source right through to the manufacturer to producer. I don't know if that answers the question fully, or if you need
it. No, that's good. I mean, I would have probably one further question on, you know, the process and the technology and how it actually works in terms of your business model. And I think that would be quite valuable for listeners to understand. So you're obviously licensing technology to industrial players. I mean, in terms of your business model going forward, I mean, are you going to be supporting them with that process? Is there going to be further technical support from that? Or is it simply licensing the technology and then they'll go out and apply it to their specific areas of manufacturing?
No, I'll clarify that. We will license our technologies to specific licensees. We will supply to them under license our process plant, okay, which they will purchase from us. We will control everything in the makeup of that process plan. What I would emphasize here, and I'll let Richard take this up later, is our process is a modular plan. It's a plug and play. And it's actually quite important for our long-term business plan. Our plug and play type of unit would be $4 to $6 million as a buying decision. The plug and play that it's connecting into is likely a $50 to $100 million process plan. So for us in the growth, we see it as not a major buying decision, but with a fantastic return for the end user. So first of all, we'll outsource everything. What's important is that we're not a high skill company. We're not labor intensive and we're not plant intensive. We're not capital intensive. And this is why I think in our business model, it'll allow us to grow so quickly. So we'll outsource the plant under our control, everything, design specification to our patent, okay? And similarly with the formula, we'll outsource that, the materials that make our formula, to the blender who under our license and under our patent, under control, will produce our formula. So all the way through with our licensees, we'll install the plant for them, we'll start it up, we'll commission it, there'll be ongoing technical support. And our plant will be installed with software, and it will be Six Sigma software. So we have complete overview of how the plant is producing to the quality and the standards. Richard, maybe you want to say something further than that?
Yeah, just to clarify, so it's a partnership, Jonathan. So we will be working along with our clients in improving and improving efficiencies on the line and things like that, because it is such a breakthrough technology that it's very unique, and the customer understands the benefits with it, but they also understand that it is a partnership, a business and a technology partnership moving forward.
I mean, now let's talk to the environment and the benefits there, because of course, you know, one of the main aims of this technology for people to employ it is to reduce the carbon waste. So, I mean, indeed, how is it helping the environment?
Yeah, so I think that there's two ways in which we sort of bolt our system on to help the environment. So one is bolting on to existing production facilities, and that's very much harnessing the freshly generated waste stream that they have coming along. We repurpose that waste into a more high-value product that is not being used in an inefficient way. And then the other is that we bolt on to legacy waste streams, and it's very much the cleaning up of that waste stream and introducing that product back into the circular economy. So it's for us, it's about utilizing this waste as much as possible. A lot of CO2 has already been generated in the initial mining and processing of this material. So to use it in a more efficient way definitely lowers the CO2 and allows us to sort of very much focus on the customer scope 1 and scope 3 emissions.
Thank you. So now let's talk about the CrowdCube campaign. So as I said at the beginning, you set up the target 500,000, which you very quickly surpassed. You're now in overfunding on CrowdCube. So I mean, what was the main reason for the campaign on CrowdCube in the first place?
Okay. Well, we've raised $5 million over the last 5 years with private and institutional investors. And we're moving forward now. We're going live, and we just felt it was the time to bring the company to the public. And with crowdfunding combined with other funding that we have, we see it's a chance to propel us forward as we move into this commercial stage. As I said, you know, we've said your initial markets are the high purity carbons. Okay, if we just take the niche markets that we're in there. The attainable market is about $400 million a year. But there are so many other markets out there just waiting for us that we don't know about. So one of the things that we want to do, and with the investments we bring in, is to expand this and research more. We have what I want to say is we're not a one-hit wonder. We have an R&D pipeline. And in our R&D pipeline, well, already we're working with companies, international companies, on biocarbons. So this is 100% net zero carbons. which is similar to charcoal. And we're working with them there because in the high purity carbons, we can reduce the scope 1 and 3 emissions. But in the biocarbon, we can reduce the scope 2. That's the transportation. We can reduce the scope 2 emissions there. So we see crowdfunding give us this opportunity to propel us to increase our business development activities as well and find out these new ones. We have a blue sky technology coming on. It's been 3 years in the making. We're at technology level ready 4 now. And we're looking next year to hit technology level ready 5, which is to tie up with an industry and take it. And that's AgriFarm. We call it AgriFarm. And that's addressing legacy waste left by the electrical utilities and combining that with agricultural waste. As I said, there's waste everywhere, Jonathan. Don't forget that. There's waste everywhere. We're combining that with agricultural waste and other organic waste. And we believe, well, we know, we've tested with Keele University, the AgriFarm pellet is a soil enhancement pellet. It's able to treat acidic soils, desert soils, laterites, and is able to retain water. So we're very much focused on looking at India and at the Middle East. So crowdfunding for us, as we see it, is an opportunity to bring more funds to us and to help us propel ourselves forward into the next move.
So investors would be interested, if they're looking at changeover technologies and thinking about investing, you know, investors would always be keen to know what the funds would be used on in terms of, you know, what's been raised and where it's going to be deployed. Have you got any insight into your plans for the capital raising?
Yeah, so I think at this stage, Jonathan, the additional funds that we're raising through CrowdCube, we're using that as our catapult to commercialization. So we have three or four different directions that we're looking at the moment, and this additional funding will let us go out and really focus on all of those commercial opportunities at one time. It will help us finalize and prove out some of our final design changes that we've just put in place. And it will also let us increase our team, our core team back here in Belfast.
Fantastic. So just to finish off now, and people will be keen to hear what the future holds, particularly the next sort of 12 to 24 months for changeover technologies. So as I said, with CrowdCube, the funds are secured. You're now in overfunding. So it's assumed that you'll receive those funds and be able to push on with your strategy. So what can people expect to see from changeover technologies from a business perspective in the next sort of 12 to 24 months?
Well, what do we want to see in the next year, in 2023? We want to sign our first commercial agreement. Right now, we're looking as if we might sign 2 commercial agreements. We have 2 MOUs. And then we want to be live in 2024 with our first commercial unit, maybe 2 commercial units. And from there, it's a matter of growth. It's a matter of global growth. As I say, there's specific sectors, the specific countries we're targeted at. Scandinavia, silica, low hydropower, EU, high carbons that they'll need to keep in bringing in. The US, South America, and Australia, those would be our key ones, our global ones. And we'll scale up from there, as I say. You know, we'll begin. I mean, if we look at medium term growth, just looking at our modular units at 100,000 tons a year, roughly, very simple figures. Over the next 5 years in the medium term, we'd see ourselves scaling up to 9 units running, and by 2027, 9 units running, 900,000 tons of pellets reclaimed from waste, and you know. From our financial models, and we have detailed financial models, but you would be looking, our projection is that we'd be looking at EBITDA about $10 million a year, and at that time we're looking at valuation over $100 million, and that's where we see ourselves in 5 years.
So we're going to include a link in the notes to this podcast to the CrowdCube page. So anybody listening to this and wants to go and check it out, do that. Check out the notes. You'll find a link through to CrowdCube there and the changeover technologies crowdfunding page. those models that you discussed there, are they something that can be accessed on the
The pitch deck can be accessed, and the pitch deck and the financial deck, but the models themselves are proprietary models that we would not be able to access through the very large scale financial models. I think the pitch decks are fine, you know, they can read it. I actually use the pitch decks myself because the models are quite complex.
So, I mean, the pitch deck's obviously a simplified version of where you see the company going over the next five years.
It's got coloured pictures, and we like coloured pictures and things.
Fantastic. Good stuff. So,
we've actually got a rule now that we've learned. I'm laughing because I'm looking at one of our engineers who's been with us for years here, Andrew over here, and I'm laughing because we've actually learned that, as one of the venture capitalists told us, one of our investors said, "See, you engineers, can you understand that a blank white sheet is nice with just a few words on it?" We've actually learned now there's no more frilly borders, there's nothing. It's just a white PowerPoint sheet, and it says something in the middle, that's it.
Indeed. So all of that information there in terms of the simplified pitch decks available on that link. So if you're listening to this and you want to see that and have a little bit more insight into changeover technologies, do have a look at that. So just one last thing before we finish up, guys. What's the best way, if people listen to this and want to speak to you directly, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so there's a couple of avenues, Jonathan, if they want to contact us through the CrowdCube platform. We are able to answer any questions on there, or if they want to come direct, if they go to our website, they'll see our info@changeovertechnologies.com email address, and they can contact us directly through there.
Fantastic. Thank you. So, Ken and Richard, thank you very much for bringing the podcast this morning.
Great, Jonathan. Stuff. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Great chatting. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you very much. Just before we go, do check out the notes of the podcast. There's a link through to the page and you can get further details on changeover technologies. Thank you very much to everyone for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.